I invite you to take your Bible this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I'm looking at verse number 28. I've covered it before for the Lord's Supper, but I've never just dwelt on it at length. Wanted to spend more time on it tonight than I gave it in times past. And just preparing our hearts for the Lord's Supper, the things that go into getting ourselves ready to put the bread in our mouth and getting ourselves ready to put the cup to our lips, and the issue of doing an examination of our hearts. If you're able to stand together this evening, let's stand together in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll be reading to you verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can pause tonight and just think for a moment about the well-being of our soul. And it is not just a one-off that happens at the time of our salvation, but it's something that we do daily. We certainly do when we come to a table like we have tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would bless as we pause for a moment to examine ourselves and think about the changes that need to be made in our hearts and sins that need to be forgiven, so that when the time comes to eat and to drink, we have done due diligence to say, help me, Father, save me, use me, forgive me, and we will give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are called upon, expected, even commanded to by the Lord to examine ourselves as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper. We're not called upon to examine our neighbor. We're not called upon to examine our dad or our mom. We're not called upon to examine our children. And so often our minds are consumed with extended family, extended relationships, friends. But tonight we're to look in the biblical mirror and use the word of the Lord to examine our own hearts and not the heart of anyone else. The care of your soul, you have a grave responsibility to provide self-examination. The idea being that the observance of the Lord's Supper means looking at ourselves. Well, you say, well, I look at myself and I compare myself to the person sitting to my left, or I compare myself to the person sitting to my right, or compare myself to my mom or my dad, or compare myself to my son or my daughter, or to the person in front of me. This is not a study of comparing ourselves to any other human being on earth, but it's a time to compare ourselves, and really we look at the bread and we look at the cup. We're looking at the Lord Jesus, and to compare ourselves not to someone else that we may or may not do better or worse than, but to say, dear Lord Jesus, I want to look at what you've done. Jesus says, when you come to this table, I don't want you to remember anybody else. I want you to remember me. And I want you to think about yourselves in light of me. When I say examine yourselves, I'm not saying I want you to study your navel and go into some hum and some cross-legged meditation. I want you to look at your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, You've called me to follow you. You've called me to abandon myself and take up my cross and follow you. You've laid down a pattern and a blueprint for my life. How well am I doing and living according to that blueprint? I'm looking not left. I'm looking not right. I'm looking not in front of me. I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking up, Lord, to you tonight. And I want you to help me in my walk with you this evening as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And so think about your walk with the Lord. Think about how that walk is going and how that walk could improve. You say, well, you know, many of us at our station in life have been walking with the Lord for years. Are you suggesting that our walk with the Lord could improve at this stage of the race that we're running? And I think that I am saying, and I'm absolutely convinced, all of our walks can improve. And that there are areas in all of our lives that need to change. And that we need to address. And that we need to think about for just a moment before we put the bread to our lips and the cup to our mouth. And to say, Lord, help me tonight. And I come to you tonight. I was saved at the age of 14, and I've pastored for many years. And to say, Lord, I've got a lot fewer years ahead of me than I do behind me, but Lord, I think there's things that I need to do differently in the years that you, if you would give me years, things that I could do differently from this day forward that would be a blessed benefit, not only to my own soul, but to those that I minister to, that I shepherd. I know there's a time that comes every year. I used to watch my dad. It was almost like a sporting event to go out and watch my dad get the lawnmower started, right? I know. Back in the days, they didn't build lawnmowers and they didn't build cars quite like they make them today. And it was almost like, boy, I think this is more fun than watching the Cardinals versus the Royals here. This is pretty interesting. But you know, he would go through before every summer season of mowing would start, he would check the oil. And before the summer season would start, he would check the gas, and he would dump the oil at the end of the year, and he would dump the gas at the end of the year. And I had one little lady that I mowed here in Branson, and she made me use a little funnel that looked like a little flour sifter or something, and then she would put this cloth down it. She made me do this every time. It was very mechanical, and I poured the gas through that little filter, but I also poured it through that cloth. She was very disciplined about this. She made me do this every time, and my dad didn't make me do this. We just poured the gas in without any filter and without any cloth, just bloop, 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 and it would go. But you do this routine maintenance before you start the year, so that when you pull and you start and you prime, carburetor is ready, everything's ready. When you go out into the garden, you don't want to go out with a dull hoe. You want to go out with a sharp hoe. If you go out in the timber with an axe, you want to sharpen the blade before you go out in the timber, so that when you lay that axe, it's less work, more accurate, makes the work lighter, easier. He's saying, I want you to come to the Lord's table, but I want you to do something before you go into the Lord's table. I want you to examine yourself. And I want you to do due diligence to the maintenance of your soul, because it's going to make things go much better in the journey ahead as we connect with Christ tonight. And spiritually, He is always with us. And I always have this sense He is with us in an enhanced way when we come to the Lord's table. Always when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. But when we come to the Lord's table and touch that bread and drink that cup, our Christ is just, there's this sense, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's better and better and better. And so there are things to do with this verse. And I looked at this verse and saying, you know, I don't know that I've ever done due diligence. And I'm certainly not going to do due diligence with it tonight. But I want to do better than I have in the past with this verse. What does it mean to examine ourselves? And I wanted to look in the sense of, I want us to look at our hearts. And I want us to think about the our heart condition before we come to the Lord's table. And I want to think about our heads, the things that run through our mind as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, and examine our hearts. And really, this is sort of a medical exam that's going on. It's a heart scan. It's a CAT scan. It's an MRI of sorts. It's an X-ray of sorts. I want us to think about our hearts and our head, our how we use our minds, and how God wants us to love Him with all of our mind. And I want us to think lastly about our hand, how we're serving Him as we come, and just think about the things that we are doing. Not being busy for the sake of being busy, but are we actually making a difference in the kingdom? And sometimes we could be too busy. There's a sense of, am I doing enough? Am I overdoing it? What am I? Am I doing anything for the sake of the kingdom? And so let's think about the heart, the head, and the hand tonight. First, the heart. Some may consider, okay, I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. You said you did it when I was 14. I can tell you approximately the time when the Lord and I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've trusted Christ. What more is there to be expected in order for me to qualify to come to the Lord's table? He says, every time you come, examine yourself. There's something to be done every time. You're just not going to go back to that 14-year-old or 9-year-old or 6-year-old or 30-year-old experience. Those experiences are great. You'll never forget them. You should never forget them in all of your life. I think I'll forget a million things. I don't think I'll ever forget the day the Lord touched me. But there's things that need to be done along the way, right? And I want to start tonight with our heart. And may I say this to you, every day of your life, you're either becoming more like Christ or you're becoming less like Christ. Every single day that you either make an advance more in the likeness of Christ, or you make a retreat more in the other direction, the opposite direction, away from Christ. And so every day there's this battle that goes on. Every day there's this journey that we take. Every day we wake up and we have a chance to serve the Lord on that day uniquely from any other day on earth. Every day. And so he says, when you come to the Lord's table, examine yourselves. There are hard issues that need to be considered before coming to the Lord's table. There are things that I want you to look inside and just see to make sure that are some simple things that you've done or may not have done. I think the very first heart condition would be, are you trusting Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? How about if we start right there? That's a good place to start. This table is for believers. This table is for the children of God. We've been born again. We've been washed in the blood. We are glad to be called Christians. We were once a child of the devil. Now we are the children of God. We were once part of the family of Satan. Now we're part of the family, with the head of the family being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were once headed to hell. Now we're headed to heaven. The first heart issue, are you trusting Christ? And may I say, if you haven't taken care of that most rudimentary, that most starting point issue, then please just watch the Lord's Supper tonight or at the end of the service. Come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and take care of that most basic, most important heart issue tonight. It doesn't take much for things to go wrong in our life to really get things. Have you ever had be walking along and you get a very small little stone in your shoe? Have you ever experienced that? You may go to the beach or you may go a walk along one of the creeks, or just be walking anywhere on a hike or anywhere, and something gets in your shoe. And it is so small that when you shake it out of your shoe, you can hardly even, you're not even completely satisfied that it came out of the shoe, but you keep shaking it because whatever is in there is driving you crazy. When you look at the heart, you may not be looking at in the big scheme of things would be a big issue, but as Solomon would write, it's the little foxes that can spoil the vines, and it's the minor things that can become major things. And the heart issue is sometimes dealing with a major thing, like salvation. It's the most major thing at all. Or heart issue can be a very minor thing that no one else can see, but boy, you can sure feel it when you put one foot in front of the other. I heard the other day that some kind of a little plug came out of a door on an Alaska airline. Now, this is a multi-million dollar machine that's flying along. This little plug that came out of this door, they had to do an emergency landing because that plug came out of that door, don't you know? It can be a very minor thing. I've heard of some locomotives going down the track, clickety-clack, and some little screw. It might be a $5 screw, $10 screw, $100 screw, multi-million dollar train. Everything stops. When this little screw stops doing its job, you've got to pull the lever, stop the train, everybody out. Something's not safe. Is your heart spiritually healthy? Have you forgiven others? I think that's a good heart issue. I will have to say this is an interesting church. I've been here 10 years. There's been a number of times where someone has said, "Pastor, I didn't take the Lord's Supper tonight. There was something in my heart that I needed to deal with. And I just didn't feel comfortable coming because I needed to take care of something." And I've pastored more than one church, but I've had that happen a number of times. It's just someone will come and say, "I passed tonight." Do you have a forgiving spirit? Is there someone that you need to forgive? You know, a lack of forgiveness is like being in prison. I've been talking a lot about Peter being in prison. I've been talking a lot about James being in prison. This morning I talked about Herod being sent from the greatest palace on earth into an eternal prison. Do you know if you're not forgiving someone, you're in a prison and you need to be free? You say, "Who set you free?" You can set yourself free if you will forgive that person tonight. We're told to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, help me to forgive others as you've forgiven me. And if I fail to give others, I guess I haven't been forgiven by you." I think that's a pretty significant issue. What do you think? I think Scripture rises that up to not a minor little pebble in the shoe. I think that could be something fairly major. Do you have a forgiving spirit? Is there someone tonight that I say, "Have you forgiven them?" Is there someone that comes to your mind tonight that you need to give them a call or write them a letter, or better yet, go see them face to face and say, "I forgive you. That I've done something wrong." Forgiveness is huge. And forgiveness can be one of the most painful things to do on earth, but at the same time, it is one of the most glorious things that you can do on earth. Do you have a critical spirit, a critical heart? There are people who just wake up and they're just critical night and day. They just, for some reason, they wake up and it's cloudy, it's overcast, it's raining, it's stormy. Do you have a critical heart? The Lord wants to put joy in your heart. And I tell you, if you have a critical heart, a critical spirit, how about getting rid of that tonight? We're going to sing an invitation song before we have the Lord's Supper, and someone may need to come to the altar. Maybe many need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, would you help me forgive this person? Would you deliver me from this critical spirit? It just seems like I see everything bad. And I think you've given me joy unspeakable, full of glory. You've given me a very blessed life. If I were to count my blessings when I was a child, they say, "Can you count to 10? And I would count. And they would say, "Oh, isn't that so cute? He counted to 10. Can you count to 100? Yeah, I can count to 100 forwards and backwards. when I think about the blessings of God in our lives, I think there's a new contemporary song that says, I can't count that high. And I listen to that contemporary piece of music and I say, you know, that is exactly right. I don't think I can count that high. And there are people here that are just, you know, it's just their face, their spirit, their demeanor, their walk with the Lord is critical. And when you come to the Lord's table, I think he says, examine yourself and see if Christ can be seen in you. Do you have a critical spirit? Are you relying on Jesus for forgiveness and salvation? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is the wellspring of life. Protect it with everything in you. We lock the doors on our car. We lock the doors on our house. We lock the doors on our safe that's in our house. We lock everything. Lock your heart. Protect it. Guard it. Shield it. It is the wellspring of life. The heart is where life really starts. The Lord wants to take our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Check your heart tonight as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Is your heart spiritually healthy? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasures in heaven, looking up more than around, thanking the Lord for all he's done for us. Let me move from the heart to the head for just a moment. Well, some may conclude, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is there anything I need to do beyond trusting Christ to come to the Lord's table? I'll say it again. Every day you become either more like Christ or less like Christ. Every day do these exams, and particularly at the Lord's Supper. Take time to not only examine your heart, but to examine your mind and the things that you're thinking about, the palace gates, the mind. It's where it all starts, in the mind and in the head. Dennis Carroll, when he reads, he always says, are you reading the Bible, your Bible, every day? You know what he's asking you, don't you? Are you protecting your mind? Are you guarding your mind and ground zero of operating your life? Are you, when he asks it, he's saying, are you listening to what God says? And are you a good listener to the word of the Lord? Are you rushing to read? Are you reading in a way with understanding? Are you taking the word and talking to the Lord in prayer? You know, I could take this verse tonight and I could turn it into a prayer. And I could say to the Lord after I read, let a man examine himself and let him so eat and drink of the bread and drink that cup. I could say, Lord, I look forward to coming tonight to communion. I look forward tonight to taking the bread to my lips. And I look forward tonight to taking that cup to my lips. Lord, would you help my heart? My heart and my mind and my hand needs help. Would you help me in all of these different categories of my life so that I come to it in a way that is fit as a child of God? I want to be ready for the Lord's Supper tonight. When you protect your mind, what are you listening to on the radio and filling your mind with? I think it's pretty important what you dial your radio to. I think it's important what you're listening to as you drive up and down the road. What are you watching on television? And there was a day when people say, you know, I don't like prostitution, and people will watch it on TV. I don't like, you know, people who are scantily dressed. You'll see it every night on TV. I don't like it when divorce is so cavalier. You see it every night on TV. I don't like it when people use foul language. You see it every night on TV. I don't like these alternative lifestyles. You see it every night on TV. I don't like I don't like drinking and booze. You see it every night on TV. I don't like, you could say a thousand things. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like. But we sit and watch it and put it in our head and in our mind every night. He says, I want you to examine. I want to look inside of your head tonight. Paul would write, you know, those things that are sweet and those things that are good, those things that are holy. How about if you think on these things? And let those things tune your radio to things that honor the Lord. Watch in your entertainment, your media. What are you looking at on the computer? Protect your head. Examine your head. It was the writer, Job, the writer in the book of Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I'll not look to the left or look to the right. You say, Job, you've got to have peripheral vision. What he's saying is, I am disciplining myself with what I put in my head, with what I fill my mind with. It's a pretty important matter, what I put in my mind. And before we observe the Lord's Supper tonight, someone may need to say, you know, I need to not only just change the channel, I may need to get rid of my cable subscription. I may need to get rid of this, that, or the other out of my life because I'm letting it ruin my mind. What am I listening to on the radio? What am I reading on the internet? What am I watching on my TV? You could all boil it down to this. Am I worldly minded? Do I listen to crude jokes? Do I make crude jokes? Is that who I am? Ask the Lord to forgive you today. In your mind and in your head, how are you thinking about your spouse? How are you thinking about your husband? How are you thinking about your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you see one suffer defeat and agony, do you go, yeah, they got just what they deserved? How is your mind working? And when you look at your spouse, is something irritating or grating? How does your mind actually work? When you see your parents, how does your mind work? When you see a sibling, when you see a son, daughter, grandchild, when you see someone of a different political persuasion, does it make you throw fits? Or do you pray for that person and say, Lord, cry out to God. He says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, do we pray for them? He wants you to protect your mind and he wants you to listen to the Lord. And when you talk to your spouse, he wants you to be kind to them. When you talk to your spouse, he wants you to be thoughtful. He wants you to be considerate. I saw a guy with a t-shirt the other day. He says, my wife says I have two problems. My wife says, number one, I don't listen to her. I can't remember the second thing she said. Kind of a cute shirt. But do you listen? Are you really there when someone's talking to you? Are you listening rather than trying to speak? How does your head work? How does your mind work? Am I present with others? Am I constantly on my phone? I tell my grandchildren when they come, I take them out to dinner, anybody on their phone pays for the bill tonight. And they're like, okay, they put their phone goes away. Are you with someone constantly on your phone? Be present with people. Phone down. We say that when I was a state employee. Phone down, head up. The text will wait. The ding will wait. The call will wait. Phone down. When you're with other people, phone down, head up. How does your mind work? And be present with people. Before you observe the Lord's Supper, examine your mind, your head tonight with me, as well as your heart. Lastly, let's examine our hand. Some would say, look, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I was 14, I was 30, I was 22, I was whatever. I was in the army, I was at Bible school, I was in a revival. I saw a wonderful sight last night. We went up to Ozark to see my my father-in-law, Marilyn, and I drove up to see him last night in Ozark, and I saw a tent revival going on. Boy, I haven't seen a tent revival going on in a long time, but up in Highlandville, they had the tent, and I could tell the preacher's going, here we go. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. He says, I want you to observe your hand. You see, I got saved in a tent revival. I got saved at Bible school. I got saved in a revival. I got saved. What more is there? What do you want? I want you to examine your hand, your heart, your head before we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, because once again, every day you're becoming more like Christ. Every day you may be becoming less like Christ. Take time to examine your spiritual hand. Some people, there's a lot of people in this church that are busy. Some people more busier than other people, of course. And I have people say, why isn't everybody busy at church? And you know, that's always a discussion, and it'll always be that way. And till Jesus comes, they're always going to be saying 10% of the people do 90% of the work. You've heard that every day. But let me say today, look at your hand tonight and look at what you're doing for the Lord. Now, some of you may be doing, have you ever heard a preacher say this? Some of you may be doing too much. I think it's true. You'll hear me come alongside you sometime. Boy, you got a lot of hats. Make sure you don't have too many hats. I want you to have joy in the Lord. But some of us may not be doing much. You say, I come and fill the pew. Isn't that enough? The answer is no, that's not enough. You say, I pull my machine into my parking spot. I've got my assigned pew. I put my nickel in the plate. I go home and pull my shade. Is that not enough? I'm asking you tonight to look at your heart, your head, and your hand, to be busy for the Lord, to be serving the Lord with your time, your talent, and your treasure. I think it's important that we do examine ourselves to become more like Christ every single day of your life. The more I put into something, the more I get out of something. People say church is boring, boring, boring. Are you reading the Word? Boring, boring, boring. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you just born to complain? I'll tell you, I've been to some boring church services. I get it. But if you ever worship God, worshiping God's never boring. Worshiping God, everybody leans forward. Worshiping God, the people that normally fill out their shopping list, I need milk, I need bread, I need eggs, I need... They put their shopping list away if they're in worship. There's something about worship that gets your attention. And we need to examine our hand tonight. Am I serving within my home? I think that's where it starts. I think there's a lot of people serving the Lord. And preachers can be as guilty of this. We may have our PhD in this. Studying, preaching harder than anyone. When we get home, there's the devil to pay. And I think if you're serving the Lord, it starts in the home. Before it ever comes to this desk. It starts in the home before you ever sit in that pew. And there's a lot of people that can come on and put on churches. I got my Bible. I got this. I got that. Don't you think I got it going on? I don't know. Let me ask your wife. I don't know. Let me ask your husband. See if you got it going on, because they'll know. And honey, don't say amen to that, please. They'll know. Am I serving within my family? And then, I think, finding something to do within the body of Christ, the kingdom. I want to serve within the kingdom. And a lot of people, it doesn't have to be something anybody even sees. There are a lot of people serving quietly, doing things off the radar that I have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And I say, glory, 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 hallelujah, may your tribe increase. I love you. Thank you for doing that. But a lot of times you can't see. It's kind of like the kidney or the liver. You never see it. You never see, you know, what the bladder's. You don't see what these internal organs are doing. There's a lot of people doing things that I have no idea what they're doing. Am I following my reading of the Word with the doing of the Word? James would say, I don't want you to be hearers only. I want you to be doers also. Doing something for the Lord. The old saying, don't just stand there and do something. Sometimes, if it's theologically, you don't just need to do something, you just need to stand there. This world is going in 50 different directions theologically. It's my job to stand there. I've got to stand. But stand and do things for the Lord. Do I help those in need? Charles Spurgeon would say, the world is full of counterfeits, swarms with panders, who are panders and carnal self-deceit. They're sealed in, and they're deceived about their salvation. Am I patiently serving my spouse with my hand? Am I doing it with joy? Am I doing it with anger? Am I thoughtful about my family and my close friends? Examine your hand. What are you doing? Paul says, examine yourselves. I say, examine yourselves, your heart. Examine yourselves, your head. Examine yourselves, your hand. Examine yourselves. And then when you examine yourselves, you say, what's next? Eat and drink. Eat this bread. Drink this cup. First, examine yourselves. Now we're going to have time of sing a final song tonight. I'll pray for us, but at this time it's going to be just as I am. I was talking to Gary Jane. He said, can you imagine how many people have come to faith in Christ by singing that great gospel song? Perhaps more than anyone else, any other song in the whole wide world, I would expect that more people have come to faith in Christ by singing that song. I see David out there. I know Marilyn came when that song was being sung to faith in, she came to faith in Christ while that song was being sung. Perhaps tonight there's someone who needs to come to faith in Christ while that song is being played and being sung tonight. Perhaps someone needs to come for prayer. You see, I need to pray about my head. I need to pray about my heart. I need to pray about my hand. I need to pray before I come to the Lord's table. You can come tonight for prayer. You can come tonight for a church home. And I said, serving within the body of Christ, serving the kingdom, all good. Do you have a church home? I think it's really important to do that. If you don't, you can take care of that tonight as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your kindness in letting us meet together this evening. What a joy it is to be in this place. What a pleasure it is to sing Just As I Am in just a moment. We thank you for that opportunity. That song has been used in such a glorious way. Many have come to faith in Christ while that song is being sung across America and even around the world tonight, Lord. If there's any that need Christ, may they come tonight before we have the Lord's Supper. That's the first heart matter that needs to be taken care of, salvation. Father, there may be those who need to come in prayer tonight, something for their head, something for their heart, something for their hand. They need to come, and I can pray for them, or they can pray by themselves tonight at this altar before we eat the bread and drink the cup. Tonight, Lord, someone may need to come for a church home. Examine our hearts. We have the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. He loved the church enough to offer his life for his bride. Thank you, Father, for the church around the world. Thank you for this church. Pray that you'll bless us as we think through these things and examine ourselves. Help us tonight, Lord, as we get ready in these final moments to eat and to drink. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.